Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, he is someone you've probably never heard of. And I'll admit, I hadn't heard of him until this past week. His name is Gustav Whitehead. Born on January 1st, 1874, he was a German immigrant who moved to the United States. He was a pioneer in the field of aviation. And on August 14th, 1901, when he was 27 years old, Whitehead was featured in a newspaper article in the Bridgeport Herald from Connecticut. The article, based on eyewitness testimony, said that he had successfully powered and sustained a flight on a machine that he simply called Number 21. It even included a drawing of his aircraft in flight. Over 100 newspapers from the U.S. and around the world picked up the story and told of Whitehead's achievement. Now, of course, when we think of first in flight, we think of the Wright brothers, especially since we live here in Dayton. I mean, we've got their graves over at Woodlawn Cemetery. We have a replica of the Wright Flyer over at Carillon Park.
No, that's the real thing.
That's the real thing that's over at Carillon Park.
Sorry.
We have an Air Force base that's partly named after them. We can't get away from their influence and legacy here in Dayton. But the thing is, the Wright brothers made their famous flight in 1903, 2 years after Whitehead did his. So then why do the Wright brothers get credit for being first in flight instead of him? Well, one reason is that there's no photographic proof of Whitehead's flight. There is the famous picture from John T. Daniels of the Wright Flyer in the air at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. But there was only a drawing of Whitehead's flight. There are rumors that there's a picture of Whitehead's Number 21 in the air, but no actual picture has ever been found. Also, despite the eyewitness accounts in the newspaper article, Whitehead was known for exaggerating his claims. Even so, historians still debate about whether Whitehead should be given credit as first in flight. There is one account that even Orville Wright wondered if he should concede to Whitehead. Now, Whitehead's story is a fascinating one, because here's a guy who worked hard, who made significant contributions to his field, and who perhaps even inspired the Wright brothers in the details of their final design, but who was overshadowed by these two brothers from Dayton. Whitehead died in relative obscurity in 1927, at the age of 53. As I said, I hadn't really heard of him until this past week. And maybe you hadn't heard of him either. But life is like that, isn't it? Some people become famous, turn into household names, and have their legacies felt in their hometowns and around the world, while other people do the same work and fade into history, or become a footnote in the famous person's story. Well, today is All Saints' Day, a day that has historically been set aside in the church to remember those famous Christians, those super disciples who lived remarkable lives of faith. For example, the Roman Catholic Church still has the beatification process, where it recognizes as saints certain people who have died. So in this light, the saints are like the Wright brothers of the Christian church. They're the famous ones. They're the ones whose names get recorded, the ones whose legacy and influence are remembered. And it's fine to remember them. But what about the people who are more like Gustav Whitehead? What about all of the people in the Christian church who still do their thing but do not become famous? Who don't go through the canonization process? Who aren't household names? What about them? Or in other words, what about us? Well, one answer to that was the creation of All Souls Day on November 2nd, the day after All Saints Day. According to Odilo, the abbot of Cluny, who died in 1048, if All Saints Day was to celebrate those special Christians who died and were in heaven now, then All Souls Day was to remember everyone else who died, meaning those who were in purgatory and hadn't quite made it to heaven yet. Well, today, though, some branches of the Christian church, like Lutherans, merge the 2 days together. Why? Well, because of how Paul uses the word saint. When Paul wrote his letters, anytime he talks about saints, it is not to refer to famous Christians. Instead, he is referring to all people who have been made holy by their baptism into the death and resurrection of Christ. As he wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Rolf Jacobson, an Old Testament professor from Luther Seminary, put it this way, quote, All Saints Sunday is not a day to celebrate a sort of Christian Hall of Fame. Rather, All Saints Sunday functions best as the church's memorial day. A day to celebrate that all of us are sanctified in Christ Jesus, not by our own merits, but by the free grace of God in his Son Jesus. It is a day to remember those saints who are living now, including those separated from us. And it is a day to remember those saints who are dead in Christ, especially those very dear to us and who have died in the past year. Unquote. Well, one way that we honor these people is by remembering that they are blessed by God. Consider the gospel reading for today. In this famous scene of Jesus giving the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus did not say that the successful and the popular and the well-known people were blessed. Instead, he said that those who were poor in spirit, those who were mourning, those who were meek, and so on, were blessed. Why would he say that? Because in those Beatitudes, Jesus was not saying that you have to achieve some special status before God would take notice of you. Instead, he was saying that God notices you. God takes care of you. God blesses you and does so now, even if others don't know about you. For example, in just a moment here, we will remember the names of those people who have died over the past year and those who have died at any point. If you look at that complete list of people, not just those who died in the past year, some of those people you know, because you personally submitted their names. Others of them you don't know, because someone else submitted their names. And I imagine that many people on this list are probably like Gustav Whitehead to you. You have no idea who they were or what their life story was about. But the thing about All Saints Day is that you don't have to know who these people are, because God still knows them. Or, let me put it another way, there are plenty of people in this world who have no idea who you are. You play no part in their life story. You aren't famous or a household name, and they simply don't even know you exist. But even if you are forgotten or ignored by others, you are still remembered by God. That is the beauty of this day and the beauty of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you. When people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. When you feel like Gustav Whitehead, when you feel overshadowed by those who are more popular or recognized by others, remember that it's not about if people remember you. Instead, it's about the fact that God remembers you. That's what All Saints Day is about. You are baptized. You are forgiven. You are made holy. You are a saint. And so are all of your loved ones and all of the people you don't know. So to all of the Gustav Whiteheads of the church, to all of you, I say, blessed are you. In the name of the one who makes us all holy, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.